Grace to you and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for September the 13th. I'm Paul White. I want to jump right into where we finished off yesterday. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, where Paul says, however, verse 7, however, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some, with consciousness of the idol until now, eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. I think there is something incredible underlying this verse in 1 Corinthians 8, 7. The context, of course, is people. The question's been asked by the Corinthian church to Paul. Is it okay for us to eat meat offered to idols? Paul tries to reemphasize that it's not about what you know and gaining knowledge. It's about loving one another. So it's not just can I, it's should I. And the can I and the should I are two different things. Can I, his argument is, the idol's nothing. We have one God. It's Jesus. It's God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But not everybody has that knowledge, he says. For some, their consciousness is aimed at the idol, and they eat that meat as if it were offered to an idol. In other words, they give credit to the idol. They make something big of the idol, and then their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Now, we'll jump into the 14th chapter of Romans in a moment because Paul does some similar work there. But I just want you to think about the import of this. You have an enormous amount of power in your faith. Jesus said to a blind man, a man who was asking for healing for his son, Lord, could you do this? And Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. And I've grabbed that verse and implemented it into my day-to-day life. Be it unto me according to my faith. What do I believe about this? Let that be what it is. And you might think, well, that's assigning to yourself too much power, but it's really not assigning to yourself power as much as believing that there is power in faith, that you begin to pay attention to what you believe in. The more you believe in it, the more you pay attention to it. The more you pay attention to it, the more you give it power and authority. And so if you pay attention to your deficiencies and all you do is dwell on them and begin to believe them, you begin to see more and more of them and they dominate your life. If you dwell on the good, if you do, as Paul said, think on these things, you begin to give them authority. They begin to take precedence in your life. This isn't magic. It's not making something up that's not there. It's putting faith in the right place. If when you eat the meat offered to an idol, you give credence to the idol and believe in its power, your conscience is so powerful that you become defiled by something that within itself has no power to defile. And this is why people defend external acts of holiness with the following statement: I feel wrong if I do that. I feel wrong if I'm a part of that. That doesn't mean it's wrong, but it means it's wrong for them. Why? Are there two different standards of right and wrong? Yes. This is why I get kind of defensive when people say things like, right's right and wrong's wrong. And I go, no, good's good and evil's evil. But one man makes something wrong because his conscience sees it as wrong, and it definitely becomes wrong for him. I'm not talking about make evil things right. I'm talking about things that are dictated by conscience, that we determine to be right or wrong. There's an enormous amount of power that comes with that. And that, I think, is what Paul is saying. Let's reread it again. This is 1 Corinthians 8, 7. There is not in everyone that knowledge. What knowledge? The knowledge that there's one God. For some, with consciousness of the idol until now, they eat that meat as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. Notice their spirit man's not defiled. They're not less sanctified. They're not less righteous. They're not less holy. But their conscience is defiled. The book of Hebrews deals with our conscience when the author to the Hebrews tells us that we've had our consciences made clean, washed over with pure water. But he also tells us that we have a conscience that often presents dead works to serve a living God. That's Hebrews 9:14. That our conscience puts forth a few things that we think we ought to do. Our conscience can't be trusted if it's not at peace with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Hebrews 10:22. If you see Jesus as your high priest and you draw near him with a heart full of assurance in faith, then your evil conscience is sprinkled over. That's Hebrews 10:22, your evil conscience, evil is unsound. Your unsound conscience then is washed over with pure water. Why? Because you've drew near in faith. What happens when you don't draw near in faith? Your evil conscience takes over. And your evil conscience will offer you some dead works to serve a living God. And your evil conscience is weak and defiled. Listen to how he says it in Romans chapter 14, verse 14. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. Okay, I don't know if you can get any more plain than that. There's nothing, and he's talking about food, there's nothing unclean. This is a complete contradiction of Jewish dietary restriction. This is Paul as a Christian saying, look, nothing's unclean. I know you've heard things are unclean your entire life, but we're in Christ. Nothing's unclean of itself. But if you think it is, then it is. And if you think it is, don't eat it. If your brother's grieved because of your food, you're no longer walking in love. Don't destroy with food the one for whom Christ died. That's similar to 1 Corinthians 8:1. Knowledge puffs up, love edifies. The kingdom of God's not eating and drinking. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. He who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Let's pursue the things which make for peace, the things which one may edify one another. Don't destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it's, look at this, but it's evil for the man who eats with offense. It's good neither to eat meat or drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves, but he who doubts is condemned. I want to make sure you see this. Romans 14:23. He who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he doesn't eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. So you've missed the mark if you're proceeding forward without faith. Even in what you do day to day, you give power to things. That's why your conscience feels defiled. Now, here's something else to think about. Paul considers this weakness. What is spiritual weakness? Is that the inability to call down fire or cast out devils or heal the sick? Paul's definition, and we're going to dig into this tomorrow, Paul's definition of spiritual weakness has more to do with misplaced faith and your consciousness. And we'll look at 1 Corinthians 8, and we'll also jump to Romans to help this argument as well. They're similar arguments. Of course they are. They're the same author. I'll see you tomorrow. God bless.